This podcast may contain content that is not suitable for listeners under the age of 18. If you are 17 or younger and wish to educate yourself about sex and relationships, you should visit scarleteen.com. That's scarleteen with one T.
Hey, I'm Alicia, your non-monogamous relationship coach. Welcome to the podcast where my friends and I chat about our relationships, enthusiastic non-monogamy, polyamory, swinging, kink, and our lives. You'll get a candid peek into what makes it worth it to live life outside the box. And in case you're still wondering, nope, we're not monogamous. Today, I'm talking to Danny, the producer and editor of Nope, We're Not Monogamous, and also one of my partners. And this is really exciting for me because I get to chat with him and, you know, share with all of you the story of how a couple of high school sweethearts from a small town in the Midwest wound up in a committed, married, polyamorous quad and living in the Pacific Northwest. This conversation is so much fun for me because they have a really unique, successful, and healthy relationship. And so sharing with you, the listeners, how that came about and the challenges that they've faced and how they've overcome them is just, it's a really wonderful story. And I wonder if I'm hitting on all the questions that you would want to ask if you were sitting here yourself. So as you're listening to the show, and if you find yourself wanting to know more or wanting to know specific things, shoot me an email or send me a message on social media and ask away. I would love that kind of input. And I hope you enjoy the show today. Danny, you're on my podcast.
I am. Finally.
Finally. We've never done this before. We never recorded a podcast and then saved it in the wrong file.
Never.
And then returned that computer.
Oh my God.
For it to be lost forever.
Forever and ever.
No, that didn't happen to us. So
no, of course not.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's just talk.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just have a conversation.
Yeah. So are you polyamorous?
The funny thing is I am not. No. I am polyamorous. Yeah, I'm in a big old polycule, if you will, a tribe, a pod.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I'm one of four.
Like whales.
And then I also have a girlfriend.
You do?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me?
I thought it'd be kind of cool to do on the air.
And this is when he reveals to me his big secret.
It is. My secret?
Yeah, your big secret that I'm your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers. Shit.
Well, no, there's no point to finish the podcast, guys. It's over.
Okay, tell me, how have you always been polyamorous?
Ooh.
Have you been monogamous? Have you been? Tell me your life story in regards to romantic relationships.
I feel like most people in America, I was not raised polyamorous. No, I spent most of my life monogamous. It wasn't until, like, I don't know, like 4 years ago that my wife and I opened our relationship.
So you only opened it 4 years ago. It was completely monogamous before that?
Oh, no. It was like monogamish. I mean, in a love kind of way, you know, like with allowing ourselves to be free and open about it. Married essentially my high school sweetheart. Like, we were very young when we got married. And yeah, I think even like we probably made it like a couple years before we started putting the ish in our monogamish. But yeah, we made it probably like almost like 10 years roundabout before we realized that like we could. I don't want to say that I realized that we were polyamorous. I feel like we probably had suspicions before that. But we accepted it. We allowed ourselves to have that. Like we quit making sacrifices to be happy as we saw it on TV and just decided to be happy.
Yeah. I love it when people figure out that like they can make their relationship whatever they want, and it doesn't have to look like every sitcom on television or every fairy tale that we're told, and that it can be actually what you want rather than what somebody else wants for you.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I love seeing it happen for other people. It was really fun seeing it happen for me, especially. I'm a big fan of myself and my wife. but yeah, like how many, I can't count how many discussions we had or how many like arguments were spawned from, well, our relationship doesn't look like so-and-so's, you know, Jeff does this for Janet, or, but you don't do it for me. Like, we compare ourselves so much. It's something that humans just love doing, don't we?
I think that might be like the root, one of the biggest roots of like human suffering is comparison.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't someone say famous say that once? Like there's a quote, I'm sure. I think I saw it.
I'm sure there is.
But I agree. I like the way you said it more.
Yeah, I mean, the quote that I use a lot, but I don't know who originally said it, is comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm. Yeah, that's the one. And yeah, it is. Like once you start comparing, like, oh, well, I only have this and they have that. Oh my God. And it's always like one aspect of life too.
It's kind of like being a toddler. And when, yes. And you have like, you're totally happy and content. And then you see another kid is playing with a toy that you are not playing with. And all of the sudden your world crumbles because the only thing you want is what that kid has and you don't have it. We all walk around acting like giant toddlers sometimes.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, that is, yes. We never grow up at all. I have a vague memory of doing that to one of my friends one time. Like we were hanging out. We were kids, like kids. And he would play with something and he'd be having a great time. And he's just a naturally happy person. Like just he's happy with everything he does all the time. So he'd be playing with something and I was like, oh my God, I really wish I could feel that joy. So I would be like, hey, can I play with that? And he'd be like, yeah, sure. And then he'd go find something else to do, like a sensible human, like a very healthy human. And he'd been enjoying that. And I'm bored with this thing that he gave me. I'm like, this sucks. And I would like, I followed him around before until eventually he got pissed. And he's like, would you find your own thing to do, please?
Aww.
Yeah. But that's it. That's that mentality that I had right there. I think that a lot of people carry around. I don't think I'm alone in that.
No.
It's like, oh, joy is somewhere else. The grass is always greener, as they say.
Yeah. 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 And then there's some silly saying like water your own grass or something. I don't know how that relates to being a toddler wanting other kids' toys.
No, but it totally is.
But there's something
enjoy
there.
The toy you have. Take care of the toy you have.
Oh,
make the
nurture
most of it.
Nurture it.
Nurture it. Nurture what you have.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And it will be great. Or maybe
present,
nurture yourself.
And intentional and have gratitude.
Yeah.
There. We've just solved the whole world's problems.
Yeah, we don't need to make any more podcasts. We're done. This is it.
Okay, so you guys opened up and then fell into polyamory.
We fell right into it. Well, no, because we we took a trip. because we lived in rural Wisconsin, polyamory just isn't a thing there.
That you're aware of.
Well, it is, but there just aren't that many fish in that sea. It's a very small sea, or if it is, it's not a very populated sea, and it's also very old-fashioned.
If I have listeners in Wisconsin, please send me a message.
Oh my God, please do. And I know that they exist. Like I've talked to people who are polyamorous there. It's just they didn't live near me. Yeah. We lived in a town of 1,000 people. Most of them retired. I don't know why that is. Why there are so many elderly people in that town.
Isn't there a lake?
Yes.
Fishing. Retirees like to fish. From what I hear, I'm not retired.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet.
I've never enjoyed fishing.
You're waiting to retire and be like, oh, I get it now. But yeah, we lived in Wisconsin, and my wife is much more studious than I am, and she's much more like social in that way. And she made a bunch of friends out here in Washington online. And that's kind of where we learned about it. Like she got into like a book club and met a polyamorous person and then opened my eyes to that possibility.
There's other people that do this thing that we're pretending we're not doing.
Yeah, exactly. it was because there was this thing that we kind of shamefully did. We would occasionally bring other people over to our place or over to their place or like anywhere. Like yeah. We'd fool around other people and then never talk about it. Like that is something you don't talk about because I don't know how you're going to get a home loan if the town knows that you're a hussy or we're a hussy. Hussies? I don't know. But Hasai? Hasai, yes, we're many Hasai. So yeah, we had to get out of town. And we've always, like, both of us just on our own, even before we knew each other, really liked the idea of the West Coast, and we wanted to come out to Washington, and that just happened to be where these polyamorous people were. And we, I don't know, made a trek of it. We migrated west.
On the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, more or less. Like, I feel like this is just where, like poly people, like dream of the West Coast. They wish they could be in Seattle.
The Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Home of polyamory.
Yeah, everyone's poly here. We're just it's just really open to it. And I'm glad I made it here. I'm such a great change. Everyone's so accepting because they're poly, too.
I mean, not everyone, but not everyone. You're close.
But enough of them.
I mean, enough that we surround ourselves with.
Right. Oh, that's true, too. I just getting a fresh start. I got to only let people into my life that, I guess, aligned with me or my way of thinking in some way. Like, it wasn't like childhood friends that I grew up with and had to figure my life out with.
Yeah.
It was just people who knew me as an adult, knew me as, I don't know, I think I was like 27 or something when I came here.
Aww.
It's such a cute age. So many years ago. Oh, back in my 20s.
Tell me more. You have a quad. You went from, like, you had a wife, yeah, and now so, you have, like,
yeah, we came
multiple
here,
spice.
So many spice. Yeah, we just kind of, like, shopped around, you know? It's, like, really. we just, through networking, we knew other poly people. And we knew a polyamorous couple that my wife hit it off with before I got out here. And they needed a roommate or roommates. They were trying to, like, rent part of their house. So we took them up on it because it was a sweet deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing leads to another. Once you live with someone long enough, you're just married.
I mean, you might as well be, right?
Yeah. No emotion to it at all. Just, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be sarcastic. People can't see my
face.
We are
now common law married.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be weird if that happened? If you could be, like, common law married with, like, multiple roommates?
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
But that's a whole other story.
I mean, I guess common law is like legally speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that, like, people, like, roommates, if you live with someone for 5 years, you know them. Yeah. All the weird stuff they do. You've seen them clip their toenails. And
yeah. And do they clean up the clippings or not?
Exactly. Yeah. You know these things about that person, you know?
Yeah.
If that's not intimacy, I don't know what is. But we moved in with them first. And then I'd, like, slowly just kind of we started making these connections with people. We really hit it off, like, in a big, big way. Like, so much so that we decided to do a ceremony about it.
Aww.
Yeah. And now we're like basically two married couples that merged into this awesome quad, and we're raising two kids together.
Oh, I love it.
Me too.
Oh, you guys are wonderful. I've learned so much from knowing you guys.
And, oh my God, stop it.
Like, seriously, I mean, because like my life experience and my experiences with relationships are mine and are limited to the people that I have been involved with. And so meeting you all and seeing how you guys, like, navigate relationship things and having conversations with you was very eye-opening to see another healthy polycule do things in a way that, you know, that I may not have thought of, or, you know, just wasn't, I wasn't aware of, you know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that does. Yeah. That makes sense.
Like I will say, like, hey, have you guys ever experienced this thing? And then I get these, like, really lovely responses of, like, yeah, but this is how we handle it. And I'm like, oh my God, that never would have crossed my mind. Yeah. Y'all are brilliant.
Oh no, you too. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely a two-way street. It's a many-way street. It's a giant intersection.
It's a traffic circle.
It is. And I love it. I've taken so much advice from you, and I'm glad that you've gleaned some from me.
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Alicia here. You know, the voice you've been tuning into episode after episode. Today, I'm popping in with an invitation that's really close to my heart. Behind the scenes, I've been crafting something special just for you, my dedicated listeners. If there's a voice inside you that's seeking guidance on navigating the realms of relationships and non-monogamy, wanting to, like, boost your confidence and find that unwavering sense of security, or you're struggling to manage the tricky waters of jealousy, I'm here to offer my support.
I've cleared my schedule to open up 50 slots this month for free one-on-one clarity chats directly with me. So this is your opportunity to dive deep into those pressing questions and come out on the other side with newfound clarity and direction. The availability on this is super limited and these spots are going to fill up really fast. So don't miss your chance to connect with me. Head over to my website, alisiapayne.com, right now. Go secure your spot because together we can uncover a path to a more joyful, fulfilling, and easy non-monogamous journey. Talk to you soon.
Okay, so the last 4 years, what's been the biggest challenge?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, pick one.
Pick one challenge. I imagine you probably hear this from anyone who was monogamous and then opened up. But I think like tackling insecurity is probably the biggest struggle of mankind, period. Mm-hmm. But it definitely rears its head when you've been led to believe that you have to be everything to somebody for their whole life, or you're a failure, and having that hardwired, like just really, really just crammed into your head. And then, you know, realizing that that's not true. And then you have to untangle this whole mess that you've been taught for decades, in my case.
And then you add in comparison.
And then you add in comparison again.
There it is again. And see that somebody else is doing a thing for someone you love that you aren't doing for them. And oh my God, now who am I? And this is like the worst thing ever. And I'm a failure at life and relationships. It's not true, but like that's what happens to a lot of us, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely the feeling. It is. You become completely vulnerable. I think realizing that that was like a powerful thing to do was awesome. Like I knew it. Like I felt it. I had my eye on the goal. I think that's why I was willing to put the work in and then muscle through these insecurities.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing that I always say, like pushing through all of the insecurities and the struggles. And like I battled a lot of jealousy and I still do, mm-hmm. and possessiveness, but it's always been like, I can see where I want to be.
Yes.
I can see what it is that I want. And so it's worth putting in the effort because I don't want to stay here where I am comfortable being uncomfortable and jealous and like, yeah. And
yeah.
Like just sitting in my insecurities because I've had them for so long that like they feel more comfortable than not knowing what's going to happen on the other side. But having an idea of like who I want to be and where, how I want my relationships to look like makes it like worth it. I love that you said that. Yeah. That's how I felt as well.
Having a goal in mind. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yes. Isn't comfort the worst? But I mean, isn't it?
I mean, like, but it's also so good. Like, I love being comfortable and I don't want to stay. I don't want stagnancy.
Maybe that's it. Maybe there's a few different, like there's a different word I should use, but yeah, but you're right. Being comfortable in your insecurities, I think is such a good way to look at that.
Yeah.
When people like say like, oh, I'm jealous and I could never, ever change that. It's like, I'm sure you could. Like,
that's just my personality.
Yeah. It's like, why do you think you need to cultivate that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because it's already cultivated. The work's done. I've spent my whole life becoming jealous. Why the hell would I throw it away now? I put so much work into this monster.
I just want to make him bigger and greener.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like having like a goal in my, like, oh my God. Sorry, I'm just thinking here, like, what would my goal be in a perfect world? One of my partners could get carried back to me from the best date of their life on horseback, a beautiful shirtless man with long flowing hair. And he drops her off at my doorstep and then like rides off into the sunset. And I'm completely unfazed. That's what I want to be. That's the goal I want. Knowing that I'm completely outclassed by somebody in every single way and be like, that's fine.
I just totally saw that entire, like the imagery was perfect. I saw it. And you're just like, that's wonderful.
The long-haired man was Steve Buscemi.
No.
No? Although, I mean, I do think Steve Buscemi is probably like a very caring lover. Oh my God, right?
I saw Thor on horseback.
Yeah.
Bringing.
Do you mean like Chris Hemsworth or do you mean like an actual?
I mean, like Thor. Deity? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Chris Hemsworth is a good stand-in, but like.
He is.
I mean, like, we're fantasizing here.
Yeah, we are. Totally. Yeah, go crazy with it. Yeah.
What were we talking about? Okay, so your biggest challenge was...
Oh, yeah, that's right. Biggest challenge.
Battling insecurity.
I don't even want to say it's just jealousy. It really is, like, it's insecurity. I had to... For the first time, I really had to look at that. Because, again, I was comfortable in my insecurity. I had to look at this wonderful insecurity I'd built my whole life and cultivated. And taken care of, and even had communities. Like my community even assured me that it was a good idea to have those insecurities. Honestly, like in a big way, not in so many words, but like through actions, through like all these like small details, you add it up. And I had to like look at that and just be like, I don't want that anymore. Like that isn't something that I want to have at all if I can help it.
Yeah.
And then actually putting in the work to just, which I'm not sure exactly how you could, which is why, if you do have insecurities like that, you should go to AliciaPayne.com.
And oh my she God, will help you're amazing.
You. I did it the hard way. I would have rather gotten help from somebody. But I got there. It was painful and it took a while, but I got there. Because I'm not sure of any other way to really work on insecurities other than just jumping in. You know, when your partner of just however many years is like, I'm going to go off on this date with this person who, I don't know, has better hair than you, is taller than you, doesn't stutter or something, like whatever your thing is. You know, like they got all of these things. I'm going to go do this thing with them. And of course, they're not actually saying that to you. No one's comparing you to that person. At least they shouldn't be. Not like that.
Definitely not to your face.
Especially not to your face. Like noticing it, that's fine. But like telling you, it's like, I'm going to go on a date with someone who's superior to you. And I'm not kink shaming. I mean, like if that is what you're into, that's fine. But like I don't know. At least in my case, like my wife wasn't looking at me saying this person's significantly better than you. That she just wanted to go off and have a date with somebody. That's how she saw it. And someone new and interesting. And why not do that? Getting to know people is amazing. And I had to just let that happen. Instead of doing the things like, no, don't, like, I just want to choke on it a little bit, like, stop. Just let it happen and then work with it. Yeah, I had to really ask myself, like, does this change anything? And the answer is it's always no. it never changed anything at all. And maybe I just have good partners, again.
I mean, I think that is part of the battle, is picking people that are, you know, kind and compassionate. Yeah.
I'm sure if I picked a monster of a person, I probably would feel completely differently. But even then, I think I would just have to address my insecurities in a different way. And I would have to understand that, like, I'm worth more than being treated the way that this awful person is treating me. Luckily, I didn't have to do that.
Because you have great partners.
I really do. I have the best.
Jealousy is like this emotion that is often, most of the time you can drill down and find that this emotion was triggered by some sort of insecurity.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? Like either.
I might
either
even say all the time. I can't think of a time jealousy would come up and it's, ooh. Well, no, you know what? Maybe it is most of the time. I feel like it's probably some extreme circumstances where jealousy makes sense.
Or doesn't. Yeah, I mean, that might be, or also doesn't make sense because it's just like ridiculous response because we're socialized in a weird way. But I mean, like, usually it's, you know, I'm afraid of being left because I'm not as good as that person, or I'm not XYZ, right? So people will often go, well, I have a fear of abandonment. They'll dig that deep, but then you need to go to the next step. Why are you scared you're going to be abandoned? Right?
Yeah, like, keep asking.
Exactly. You have to dig deeper, because when you find the thing that comes back to yourself, to how you feel about yourself, that's where the gold is, right? When you can start believing that you are worth sticking around for, and you can believe that you're worth, that you're lovable and that you're valuable, and that the person or people that are with you are there because they see these things in you. When you can actually believe those, that's where the, like, I don't know, where the magic happens, and you can start moving past the.
Where were you my entire life? Oh my God. Yes.
I had to learn that the hard way too. I didn't have an Alicia either.
Oh, well, I'm glad that we have one now. Yeah. Yeah. I think that working through insecurities is a lot of realizing that you are worthwhile. And if someone thinks that you aren't, and I don't know who teaches us these things, but realizing that if someone thinks that you're not worthwhile, then you just don't need that person in your life. Even if it's someone you admire greatly, if they don't think you're worth it, fuck them.
Or don't
fuck them. They can, I don't know, just hit the road. Like, get out of here. You don't need that around. You don't need to impress anybody.
Yeah.
Not really. If you want to do it for fun, I mean, sure, make a hobby of it, but don't make it your life.
Make a hobby of it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, that guy can jump really high. Go do sports, like track and field stuff. Get in the Olympics somehow. You can do it. That's right. Anyone who's listening right now, you can do it. I have faith in you. But do it for fun. Don't do it because you need to. That's awful.
Okay. So I'm curious if there was a, like, I don't know, a coming out period or like a... Like, did you guys hide your relationship structure, or did you shout it from the rooftops, or was there like a transitional period?
No, there was definitely a transitional period, especially when we like got into our quad, like when it was just my wife and I, my legal wife.
Mm-hmm.
When it was just her and I, like, it's pretty, you just don't need to talk about it. Like, I don't really talk about my personal life that much unless I'm on a podcast talking to a bunch of people. No,
unless I'm telling the whole world.
Yeah, I tell the whole world or nobody. But it just, I don't know. Like, I just don't feel the need to bring it up most of the time. But I don't lie about it either. Or at least I didn't. Like, now I'm just want to talk about it all the time. But like when I first started, I just didn't bring it up. And it's pretty easy when you're just two people who are kind of, you know, feeling things out. Then we got into a quad and we had a ceremony about it, and we have multiple spouses, and we decided that we don't want, you know, that you don't want to have like that moment of like, oh, that's just a person I know. And I'm not saying that that didn't necessarily happen. Like sometimes, like I said, there was a transitional period, because once we all got together, we all kind of got forced into the open. Because now it's like, wow, those four people are all very close
and always together.
Always together. And those kids seem to like all four of them. Who are their parents? Even what is going on here? Like, so many questions happen. But. There was definitely a transition period. I had to thank my wife, my first wife, my legal wife. There we go. My first, I have many. Well, I have two. But that's more than one.
That's many. When it comes to wives.
She, oh my God, her journey in this is amazing. You should get her on here.
Okay.
Yeah, her journey was awesome, because when she realized that she did not want to be insecure anymore, like, she's a very passionate person, and she's like, I'm telling everyone, all the way, all the time, everyone's gonna know about this thing. You know, like, she does not want to live in secrecy whatsoever. Shame is not anything she wants in her life. That's what I was thinking of. Shame. Not want shame. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, and who does? It's inspiring to me. But like, she had the fire, I think, that really pushed us all to go public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's admirable. I like that.
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that. I think. There was a while, I've always been pretty open, but I think there was definitely a while where, in particular with my girlfriend and I, neither of us had been in a same-sex relationship previously. And so there was definitely some like really awkward times where we were like, I mean, we both lived most of our lives heterosexual appearing. And so there was a lot of like discomfort, you know, in like just being open in the world as partners and lovers and whatnot. And we both definitely felt a lot of, I don't know, fear, shame, sure, judgment. I don't know. A lot of internal things.
Yeah. Society taught you weird stuff.
Dude, right? Okay. I want to ask you, what's the most inappropriate or awkward or like embarrassing or I don't know, weird thing somebody's asked you about your relationships?
You know, you think I would have a canned answer for this. And I just never
put... The list goes on and on.
Yeah, I just never put like any mental energy towards that. And I should, especially since I knew I was going to be on this podcast. And I also know that that's something you ask. Oh my God, inappropriate. Nothing specific comes to mind, because again, I've cultivated such an amazing friend group.
Okay, so I have something in mind that, I mean, isn't the answer to that, but it's definitely a story that you've told me, is about how you have run into like people you work with,
yes,
with different dates, and just let them assume that whoever you're with is your wife, which I think is brilliant and lovely and like the best inside joke in the world.
yeah, I do that. Yes, I would be. I was on like a date when the McMinimins opened up, and I bumped into a guy I worked there. He's like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And he just treated my date like she was my wife, and she was completely aware of what was going on and thought it was hilarious. And then somebody else from that same place would see my wife come drop something off for me at work that I forgot or something. And it would be like my legal wife would drive up like, "Oh, hey, here's the thing." I'm like, "Hey, thanks." Kiss her goodbye. They drive off. And maybe somebody else would catch me with my other wife doing roughly the same thing. And yeah, that's been a source of great joy for me. Haven't been found out. I don't think anyone's ever come like approached me.
Like, wait,
that's something seems off.
A different person.
Yeah, there's like, oh, maybe they must just assume I'm cheating. But as far as like inappropriate questions, though, I guess. But no, I mean, I guess you get like the obvious conversations, like the ones that you would expect, where most guys mm-hmm. that, because I've worked in a lot of factories, like most guys that you talk to about these kind of things, if they find out that you've had sexual relations outside of your marriage and your wife is okay with it, it's, "Oh my God, you're amazing. That's, oh wow, how'd you pull that off? Can you tell me your secret?" Or the cringiest question, here it is.
There
it's
it
uncovered
is.
Itself. What can I tell my wife to convince her to let me do that? And it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe I think you need to start, and this was my answer. I think you need to start treating your wife like she's a person. And not some obstacle between you and having sex with other people. Like,
oh.
like
brilliant, period. Stop. Mic drop right there. Like, that's the answer.
That's it. Like, you just need, like, you need to really assess your relationship and go from there. And if you want to have sex with other people and being monogamous is in the way, then maybe your relationship isn't for you. If it's something that's really important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, like, people who think you're amazing then find out that, like, oh my God, you're letting your wife have sex with other people. At least it's a woman, right? And then when you say, "I don't care," it can be anything.
Oh.
It's whatever she prefers. People are like, I could never. How do you sleep in the same bed as someone who's had sex with somebody else?
You've just dashed my porno fantasy.
Yeah, it's not cool. She's enjoying herself as well.
Oh. Yeah.
It's that shame thing again. It's all those insecurities. It's not
that comes
just,
back to comparison.
It is comparison, and it's not just men either. Because I've definitely heard women say the same thing. I would love to have sex with somebody else, but what if my husband has sex with someone, and then they don't like me anymore?
I think that people understand the desire for multiple relationships or multiple sex partners, like to have experiences outside of monogamy, or to have experiences, you know, like. I don't think anybody likes the idea of, like, I'm only going to have sex with this one person until I die, unless they're in like the first year of their relationship. Then that's like all you can imagine.
Oh, yeah, of course. Especially if that's what's been fed to you.
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's how it has to
be. But eventually, I think everybody has, I mean, you know, everybody has fantasies and desires that maybe they, you know, don't act on, but like they definitely think about it. And then when you flip that and they're like, if my partner had those, like, first of all, to ignore or pretend that their partner doesn't think the same way is ridiculous. But like the idea that, like, oh, if my partner felt that way, then that would mean there's something wrong with me.
Yes.
Right.
I'm not good enough.
Yeah. Now, oh, all of a sudden, that means they must not love me. I must not be providing everything that they want. I must not be sexy enough. I must not be giving them something for them to think that way, even though you were thinking that same way.
Yes. And
so common.
And I think that's probably lack of trust too. Like, I can feel that way, but I know that I can handle these feelings. Maybe.
Oh.
I don't want them doing it though, because what if they go off the rails with this thought? And before you know it, I'm alone.
I often wonder if that is trust in their partner, or if that's trust in themselves, that, like, ooh, that they've chosen a partner who will stick around, that they can handle whatever comes up, you know, like, again, digging deeper.
Yeah. You gotta keep asking those
questions.
Can
you trust
questions?
Yourself? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to tackling insecurity again. Just always dig deeper, mm-hmm, until you're out of questions, until you come to like some answer that you can't question. It's like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
I believe this with 100% no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not, I feel like people say that sometimes, like, oh yes, without a doubt, this is exactly what I believe. But I don't mean that. I don't mean in front of people. I mean, like, alone.
Yeah.
You're falling asleep. You're thinking to yourself, those private moments. You come to an answer where you're just like, this makes perfect sense. There is no crack in this at all. It's perfect. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's good.
I know. It sounds so vague too, but it's like something you gotta find yourself.
I mean, it sounds vague, but I think everyone's had that experience.
Definitely.
Or maybe not.
Your super private thoughts.
I have had that experience.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Okay. Everyone in this room has.
Okay. Do you think that polyamory is a choice or an identity? Like something you are born with?
Because I'm not everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. I'm only one person. Out of 9 billion people, I'm just me. So I don't think I can even say like, oh, this is just how people are. It's definitely how I am. And judging by how a lot of monogamous people talk when they're, you know, like, oh, look at her. Oh, look at him. Or, oh, look, you know, like any of that. It's like everyone's always looking
at the green grass.
Yeah. That tells me that monogamy is definitely a choice for them.
Yeah.
That is something they're making themselves do. Because like if someone was naturally monogamous, they would find one person. And then they would only ever think about them. Even when you're masturbating, don't give me any images of anybody else. Don't make me, I don't want to think of anyone except for this one person. Like that's true monogamy, right? Like that is what monogamy is. I think if you're doing anything else, you're choosing it. I'll say this. The way I see it is I think that every I want to say romantic or like sexual thing that we have is a fetish. And I think that like monogamy is, I just see it as a fetish. It's like I'm way into, even though I want to do it with other people, I'm way into doing it with just one. That's the thing I'm into. That's how I see it.
Oh, my God. That's so good. I love that.
And I feel this. And it just for all monogamous people listening, if you are, I feel the same way about, you know, non-monogamy. It's a fetish. Yeah. It's something I'm into. I really like being with multiple people. It's something I just like.
Oh, that's really good. I like that. It is. I mean, I ask this question because there is no definitive answer, right?
No, of
and
course.
Every single person has a different opinion on it. And we all kind of come from, you know, we have different life experiences and we have had exposure to different, family cultures and different media and different relationship expectations. And so I always find it fascinating how people view things. And I think you've got a like really solid grip on that.
Oh, you say that to everybody.
You would know.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I have one for you.
Yeah.
Because my course, Getting It On in a Group, Intentional Threesomes, Foursomes, and Moresomes is coming out soon.
Cool.
Visit my website if you want to hear more about that.
AliciaPayne.com.
I'm curious if group sex is all it's cracked up to be, in your opinion.
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Absolutely. Because it's fun. It's like, I don't know, sex is fun, I think. I think I could speak for almost everybody. Like most people, I think, enjoy sex. And now, I don't know, add other people. Add more of it, but at the same time, it's awesome. Yeah. I'm going to say this. If you've never done it, it's probably not as amazing as you think it is.
Oh, my God. Like, that's great.
I feel like the movies that you may be watching that, if you see movies that portray that kind of thing, I think that they probably make it seem way, way cooler than it is. But it's definitely worth doing. Not that cool. Definitely worth doing.
You're amazing. You're wonderful. And I love talking to you. And I could literally talk to you all day long. And
thank you for having me on here.
Thank you. Thank you for editing the show.
Oh, my pleasure. I love it. I love doing it for you.
Danny, the producer, my guest.
Ooh, I like that.
And my boyfriend.
Now they know. There we
now
go.
Now they know.
And scene.
Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me personally and would help us keep this little podcast going if you would subscribe, leave a review, or share this episode with your friends. For more personalized support with your own relationships, we can work together on a one-to-one basis. Just visit my website at alisiapayne.com and schedule a free call to chat about life, the universe, and your relationships. Bye.